Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Paul Garcia Show. I want to say thank you to everyone watching and listening on YouTube, Facebook, and the podcast platforms. It's Veterans Day 2022, and I'm speaking with Vonda Rogers, the mother of the fallen Army Ranger and Sergeant Joshua Rogers. He's a Normal Community High School graduate, a beloved son, and a leader who was killed in action on April 27th, 2017. On his third deployment to Afghanistan while on a mission to take down members of ISIS-K. Wow. And that, for people that don't know what ISIS-K is, it is, in simple terms, a far more brutal terrorist group than just regular ISIS or the Taliban. So it is quite an amazing thing he was doing. And he was just 22 years old. I can't wait to get into this conversation, Vonda. It's going to be powerful, I'm sure. And I just want to firstly say thank you so much for coming on today. It's very brave of you to do, and I can't believe how energetic you still are because you've spoken at a couple high schools today, right?
I have. I've been at a junior high and a high school. But I tell you what, this is absolutely one of my favorite days of the year. We spend the whole day honoring veterans. And it took me a long time to figure out how incredibly special this is. So I have enjoyed the entire day.
Wow. That is really something to hear come out of your mouth. This is one of your favorite days.
It is.
Wow. I love that. And before we get rolling here, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple sponsors that make this show possible. First of all, Marshalloni's Pizza in Fairbury, Illinois is an incredible pizza place. I love that family. I love their pizza. It's top-notch. And if you call between the hours of 4 and 6 p.m., you will get a second pizza of equal or lesser value. Restrictions apply for free. It's an amazing deal, and you can come pick it up until 8 p.m. when they close. You just order in that little time slot, and you come pick it up. It's amazing. The pizza's amazing. Marshalloni's Pizza. You can't out-pizza Marshalloni's. Better ingredients, better pizza. Marshalloni's Pizza. Secondly, I have to give a quick shout out to a wonderful woman who does wonderful things. So choosing insurance can be a complicated and daunting process. That's why you need to call my friend Pam Deaton with Health Markets. Pam will help you with all of your insurance needs, including health, life, vision, dental, and disability insurance. She's consistently been one of Health Markets' top national agents over the years and continues to earn great reviews from her clients. If you or a loved one needs to find the right insurance plan, you're in the right hands with Pam. Call her at 309-287-2518 to see how she can help you today. All right. That wasn't anything very high tech. Thank you very much to those local sponsors. And again, thank you so much for coming on today, Vonda. I want to just ask you, first of all, you know, you said it's one of your favorite days today. You'd think it'd be one of your least favorite days, one of the hardest days for you. Maybe you can explain to us a little more about why today is one of your favorite days.
Absolutely. So I did not grow up in a military family. So we'll start with there. I was not a military brat. I did not grow up with an understanding of what our military does on a daily basis. And so my father-in-law served, my brother-in-law served. I had uncles that served, but it just wasn't part of our daily conversation. And so I always appreciated Veterans Day, but I didn't understand. And so on April 27, 2017, our life changed. And part of that change was an introduction to what I refer to as our military family. And it is huge. We can certainly get into that part of the story. But really, as my eyes were opened up to what it means to be a military family and to what our veterans have actually sacrificed, and the opportunity to spend an entire day honoring our veterans, it's really awesome. And we've had a lot of fun doing it all day today.
Wow. And you said we. Who is we? Oh. I thought this was just you going to each school.
Oh, I went to the schools. My husband was at Casper Brewing this afternoon. They have a Fallen Hero Wall. We all met up this evening at a Hero House dedication. a house that was built in honor of Sergeant Anthony Maddox. So we've been running all around town today, sharing Josh's story and ensuring that people understand that our veterans are more than just people who have served in the military. Our veterans are truly the heroes around us. Mm-hmm.
So what is Josh's story? I know that's not much of a transition, but that's what we're here for. Could you share with us who Josh was and, well, what happened on April 27th, 2017?
Absolutely. So Josh, we have four children. Josh is our second child, so we go girl, boy, Emily, Josh, Hannah, and Ashton, granddaughter Victoria. Josh was in the second grade when 9/11 occurred. So old enough to remember, old enough to recognize that things were different. We were living in Minneapolis at the time. We had the fighter jets flying over the city, you know, to protect the airport and, you know, protect us. And so it was a big topic of conversation. We spent many, many nights watching on the television what was going on, you know, so close to home and talking about this. So from a very young age, Josh wanted to be in the Army. Just like most little boys, I'm sure, he played Army, right? Like dress up in the fatigues and crawl through the grass, assuming no one can see him. It was so cute. And so he had that, but I didn't think it was serious. I thought it was just a little kid thing, right? And as he grew up, the dream got bigger, and he talked about serving in the military. Now, he also talked about going on to college and playing football, right? He played sports. Baseball and football were his favorite sports. But it wasn't like he was, we're not Eagle Scout material here. We are getting a little bit of trouble material here, right? I often referred to him, without knowing what was coming in front of us, that he was almost like a warrior without a war. He had a fight to fight, but he didn't have a place to direct that to.
Sure.
And so when he graduated high school, in his senior year, he decided to make that commitment to the Army. And did a lot of research on his own and decided that he wanted to be an Army Ranger. I had no idea what that even meant. And so I had to do a little bit of my own research as well. But that's Special Forces. So if you saw the movie Black Hawk Down, that was about Army Rangers. And so that's what he did. That's what he wanted to do. He did very well for himself as well. He went in right after high school. And so in 2013, he joined, went through basic. 2014, he went through the first Ranger assessment program and got aligned to Ranger Regiment, did his first deployment to Afghanistan. He loved it. In 2015, he went to Ranger School, which is a pretty intensive leadership school that everyone in regiment and really anyone in the armed forces can go through Ranger School. Not everyone can pass. But and then in 16, he had a second deployment to Afghanistan, had a couple of deployments in there for training purposes to England and Australia. He was living his best life. In 2017, he came home for a quick visit before he went on his third deployment to Afghanistan.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you know, as far as I knew, deployments were pretty boring. That was the story I got.
What would he do on these deployments? What was a typical thing that he would report back to you that he did? Was it just make sure everyone's okay over there in Afghanistan, the innocent civilians?
Oh, what I got was we play a lot of Xbox and we lift a lot of weights.
Wow.
That was about all I knew. I worried a lot more about this kid when he was home. You know, and he might have a few too many beers or something than when he was in Afghanistan playing Xbox. And so I really didn't know. And it's a blessing because, you know, if us mamas knew what our children are doing that are serving in the military, you know, we have military in 150 countries around the world. and terrorism is still running rampant. And so we're still fighting. And so I didn't know. And on April 26th, in the evening, which would have been after midnight, April 27, Afghanistan time, we got a knock on the door, just like you see in the movies. I was already in bed, and so my husband woke me up and said, you know, you got to come downstairs. There's two people at the door in military uniforms. And I kind of just said, no, you know, no way. And he said, you got to come down. You got to come down now. So got up, went downstairs, and there's a lot that can happen in that moment. I've talked to a lot of people in the military who do that notification. And it could be anger. It could be, you know, shock, disbelief, all kinds of reactions. Mine basically was I just walked up to the person and I said, tell me, like, just tell me. They're like, let's go in the living room and sit down. Like, nope, you just got to tell me. And I don't remember all of it. I do remember your son, Sergeant Josh Rogers, was killed in action in Afghanistan. And I dropped to my knees. And I can just remember crying out, not my baby boy. And really just... I felt physical pain in my heart breaking, just physical pain in my heart breaking. And so that's what we knew at that point. That story would unfold, and we can get into that, how it unfolds over the next several days and through his funeral a week later. And then... through the community and our military family reaching out to us leads us to this being just absolutely one of my favorite days.
Wow. A lot must have happened there. And God forbid any other parents have to go through something like this. But just so we know, I mean, what went through your mind? You said your heart broke and you felt a physical pain, which I completely believe. I hear that. I've heard people who go through significant trauma, such as losing a child. I've talked to a few people that have lost a child, and they've reported similar things. I've talked to a few on this show, even, and they say those things. It's like a physical sensation in your heart. It hurts.
It hurts.
Which is strange when you think about it, but it almost just makes sense in a way. What can you remember saying after that? You said, not my baby boy, but what kind of conversation did you and your husband have, if you don't mind me asking, immediately after officers left?
My oldest daughter and her child were with us, and of course my son was in the second grade at that time. And there's, as cold as it sounds, there's a bit of business to death. And so... after that point, you're just in reaction mode. You know, I have to let my mom and dad know. I have to let my sister know. Kevin's got to go get our daughter from ISU. She was a student at ISU. And you just kind of go into just, I need to do this, call my sister-in-law, you know. And so we kind of went through this checklist in my head, obviously, because no one plans for this. But pretty soon after that, the house is filled with family and friends. And almost immediately, Kevin got a call from Sergeant Nick Clemens, who would be our casualty assistant. He would help us through this. He was assigned by the military. Family friend at this point in time. But so the Army gave us someone to walk through this journey with us, to guide us through this. And then regiment sent someone as well to do the same thing. So we just had immediate community support.
Hmm. Did you have time to grieve right away, or did people swarm your house a little too quickly for that to happen?
No, I think that, for me anyway, I can only speak for me, but it's hard to take the next step. And For the first time, at least in my life, I learned what it meant to lean on other people. You know, we often carry others and, you know, we'll show up whenever we're needed, right? Just show up. And that's what people did. They showed up for us. They did little things like made sure we ate, right? Made sure we got away and at least tried to sleep, even if we couldn't sleep. My husband and I and my oldest daughter were all at State Farm, and our State Farm family showed up with everything, with food, with paper plates, because nobody wants to wash dishes at this point, right? Nobody wants to go to the grocery store. People showed up to our house with food. We had Rangers coming up from Fort Benning to honor Josh, and they put together care packages for them, so they would have something when they got to town. It's just you kind of go through this numbness, and you lean on your tribe to get through it. We were busy almost immediately because Sergeant Nick showed up at our house the next day. We call him Army Nick. Army Nick showed up at our house the next day, and we've got some paperwork to do. You're planning a funeral. It's awful. But Josh had done a lot of the planning for us just because of his job. And one of the requirements of his job was to help us through that. Then we were on a plane Wednesday night. We are notified. Thursday, we're doing paperwork. First thing Friday, we're on a plane out to Dover Air Force Base because Josh was being brought home. And so that was just rapid. And you just go with it. And so, because it's just surreal, right? Wednesday, I leave work and I'm just this person who's been at State Farm a long time and I got four kids and we're just busy with sports, right? And Friday, you're shaking hands with the Vice President of the United States and the senior military officers, and it's just surreal. Like, it's not supposed to go this way. And so you just lean on people. You just lean on people to take the next step.
It's really incredible how humans do that. Someone experiences a tragedy. They lose a loved one, especially a child, and all of a sudden, these other humans come and swarm them and do things for them to make their life easier for a period of time, just to make them as happy as they can be for a while. You don't see that in nature, so I think it's one of the beautiful aspects of being humans.
Oh,
good,
yes.
People, good people, maybe even people in America. You shook hands with the Vice President?
Yeah.
Really? Which,
yeah,
was Mike Pence at the time?
Yeah, Trump had just been, Trump was new into office in January, and Josh was killed in April. In between that time, we had dropped the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan, and that was the precursor to actually the mission that Josh was on. So that mother of all bombs was dropped, trying to clear some of that out, and then that mission that Josh was on was in follow-up to that. The story unfolded to us over the next couple of months. We learned immediately that it was a friendly fire incident. And so what that means is it was an accident. I mean, quite honestly, it was an accident. Someone else in regiment shot Josh and Sergeant Cameron Thomas. It wasn't malice. It wasn't intentional. It was an accident. And then when we were in Dover and we were meeting senior military officials, we learned that the mission had been successful and they had taken down the leaders of ISIS-K. And so beyond, from there, the story just unfolded.
Hmm. Do you know any more details about how exactly it happened that Josh was shot by one of his own men?
Yeah.
And could you, I wouldn't ask this if I didn't know some of the details, but could you tell a little bit about how he was shot and what he did after that?
Absolutely. It really sounds like a movie. And so anyone can go out. If you go out and you Google Josh's name, and Cameron's name. Articles have been published and shared. And so I'm not sharing anything confidential, right? I'm not sharing anything I'm not supposed to share. But I can tell you that just after midnight, April 27, Afghanistan time, three helicopters were loaded up with SECO Rangers from 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, and their Afghan allies. And they were sent to the Nangarhar province of Afghanistan to take down these ISIS-K leaders. Now, these are the most evil men in the world at that time.
Worse than ISIS, which
yes.
I didn't know anyone could be worse than ISIS. These people burn Americans alive and film it and send it to American officials. They're more than brutal. It is evil.
Yes.
It's hard to imagine. Anyway, yes, these are the people that Josh was dealing with here.
Yeah, now let's if we just stop a minute and we remove the pain and heartache from it, this was the best night of Josh's life because this was the culmination of all the training he had done since he had been in the military, right? This is the assignment, right?
You explained that he was like a warrior without a war.
And he finally found the war. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
And so, you know, all of the training that they had done, he had told his dad, it's like practicing for football and never having a game, you know. And now they got the Super Bowl. Like, this is it. And so three helicopters full of men that go in. The helicopter that Josh is on isn't able to set down as planned. So the three helicopters were intended to go in, set down. The men run out the back, right? Go to their assigned spots, take them down, come back, let's leave.
Was there like a house or something that they were
I'm not
invading?
Sure. It was. It was a compound.
Okay.
So yeah. So it's a compound. It's surrounded by some mountains. It's a hilly area of Afghanistan. So several buildings in this compound, several tunnels. That's kind of what it's like over there, walls. And so they were carrying ladders to climb walls, and, you know, they had explosive devices to break into buildings. I mean, this was like a movie set, only this was going on in 2017 when I think most of America had no idea we were still fighting a war. To your point earlier, we kind of thought we were just over there policing the place, and that's not what was happening. So they get there, two helicopters set down as intended. Josh's helicopter isn't able to, so they have to fast rope out. So just like the movies, back door opens, ropes, and the guys have to slide down those ropes. That put them a little off course and a little off timing. Just enough for an inexperienced sniper who's sitting up in one of the buildings to mistake in their group, right? Because it's not exactly where they were supposed to be. Now, but before that even happened, even fast roping out of the helicopter wasn't smooth. Obviously, by the time Josh and Jared, last ones out of the helicopter because they're team leads, and by the time they fast rope out, everybody knows they're there, right? It's a giant helicopter. They're under fire from all directions. And so as they fast rope out or shortly after hitting the ground, Josh was shot in the leg. And so in typical, you know, warrior fashion, he sets his stuff down, puts a tourniquet on, picks his stuff up and says, let's go.
He puts a tourniquet on. What does that mean? He ties something around his leg?
Or? That's right. Stop the bleeding. So he's shot in his leg, puts a tourniquet on it. And then keeps on going. It's an interesting part of the story that I love to tell because for a mama's heart, that tells me that he knew exactly what he was doing. Because he could have sat the rest out, right? Hey, I'm shot, right? Hide me here. I'll wait. No. He's you know, he's pretty serious. So he moves forward and Shortly thereafter, he was shot in the head. So it was one of our snipers. Again, it was an accident. He was shot in the head, killed instantly. Cameron was shot in the face, and they applied medical treatment.
To Cameron?
Mm-hmm.
And is Cameron alive?
He is not. So, and a third. And Daniel was also hit in the head, but his bullet was caught by his helmet. So he had a pretty good concussion. He was out for a minute or two. But he finished the fight, which I want to talk about in a second. But the group then that Josh was with was then pretty intensely focused on clearing, making it safe for the 9 line to come in. So the 9 line is like the ambulance in Army terms. 9 line comes in and they take the injured out so that everyone else can continue the mission. It took them about 45 minutes to make it safe enough for the 9 line to come in. And unfortunately, though they applied medical treatment, Cameron did not live through that that period of time. It was a bad injury. So it was not unexpected. It was not because he didn't get out. It was just a very bad injury. And so elsewhere in the compound, they didn't know what was happening. They're continuing it, and the mission was successful. But it took about 3 hours. So it was about 3 hours of fighting. One of the guys described it to me as standing on the 50-yard line at the Super Bowl, and what would normally have been flashes, right, was gunshots from all around them. So, yeah. Movie theater level fight here.
Wow. Holy moly.
Yeah.
And these men just kept going even though their brothers got shot, and they knew it surely, but maybe is that what they were trained to do, just keep going?
Yeah, and they don't know it actually. I mean, the people that he was immediately with knew it.
Oh.
Right? So they've got to take care of it. But if at some I heard one veteran describe it today that when you're in the fight, you've practiced so hard for it that just takes over. And so they don't alert when there's been a death because everybody else needs to stay focused on the mission. And so his Ranger brothers that weren't immediately in his group found out after they all got back to Bagram Air Force Base.
Wow. Holy cow. What a story that is. There's a lot I have to ask you about that. Before we do that, I know you want to talk about how one of those men was integral in finishing that fight and how the fight ended. I want to ask how you can even talk about this. Certainly, you must be a proud mother of your son. And we're going to talk about all that. But first, we got to take a quick break and give a quick shout out to our wonderful sponsors that make conversations like this one possible. So here are a couple words from Fairbury Furniture and Fairview Haven's In Motion Physical Therapy Center.
Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois has added over 7,000 square feet to their showroom. Or any physical discomfort and just want to get back to living a fit and happy life, look no further than In Motion Fitness Center and Outpatient Therapy at Fairview Haven in Fairbury, Illinois. Our highly skilled therapy team will guide you through proven and effective exercises to help you regain your strength, movement, and mobility, all with our renowned level of love and care. Live your best life. Call our therapy team at 815-692-6724 to find out how we can serve you today.
All right, that was Fairbury Furniture and In Motion Physical Therapy at Fairview Haven in Fairbury, Illinois. Great places. Check them out. Sorry if the sound went out there, Fairview Haven. My apologies. Still working on the setup here.
If you
Sorry about that, everybody. But okay, First, before we continue on, I wanted to say a quick thing. If anyone wants to call in today, you can do so on this new line. It's at 309-407-7776. If you call that number, we will answer it, and hopefully if all things go correctly, we'll get you on the air. It'll be live and all that good stuff. You know what? Let me turn off a thingy here. We're all learning, folks. Okay. All right. One thing I wanted to ask about, Vonda, is you said that there was someone that was integral in helping this mission continue on, you know, to finish up. Was it the sniper that you said? Or you said someone that you wanted to talk about was...
Oh, well, I can't even remember, but I'm sure it will come to me. A couple things I do want to say is... After Josh was killed, one of the people on his team, Michael, called in for air support. And so what that means is they had the Air Force kind of on standby, but they called in to have bombs dropped, basically, to help clear the space, right, to help clear the area. This just amazes me. You know, I talked to the pilot. He found us after Josh was killed. He found us, and he wanted to meet us and talk to us. And it amazes me to know that you can't see the planes in the air, but they can drop a bomb with such precision, right? That they cleared it and made it safe. But none of our people were killed in those bomb drops. So that's just absolutely amazing to me.
Yeah. So they fly with their lights not on, I'm sure, somehow quietly, probably high up. I don't know. I never really thought about that.
I don't know, but they're high up.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing, and I'm sure that I'll remember what I was going to say, but one thing you mentioned before break was, you know, how can you tell this story? Couple things. First of all, I am so crazy proud of the man that Josh grew into, the man he became in the military. And to be honest, we really met him through his Ranger brothers, because when he came home, you know, you kind of fall back into old habits, right? And so you would never know this without experiencing it. But as we met the men that Josh served with, and as they introduced themselves to us, they would say to me, "You're my mom now." The brotherhood that they had was as if they were true brothers, as if they had known each other their whole lives. And they trusted me with this story. This is how I know the story, because they've trusted me with it. And I share it because I don't think enough Americans know what's really happening. And because of that, I don't think that the appropriate respect is given to our veterans. And please, if you are a veteran and you didn't serve in country, you didn't go to Afghanistan or Iraq or Africa or Somalia, you served here back home, I still include you in this list of heroes. Because I now know what it means to a family to be a member of the military. I understand this brotherhood, this sisterhood. I understand what families go through when the people that they love go and serve or go and train, right? And so I can share this story because I am so proud, not only of Josh, but of every one of the men he was serving with that night. I'm crazy proud with what they got done, right? With what they did. And I know if they were here, they'd be shaking their head no, and they'd be saying, "We're not this." Just like Josh, they would say, "It's just our job, right? We were just doing our job." Well, I just do my job, and it ain't nothing like that, right? And so I love to share their story, and I love to brag on them. I love to allow people to see how incredibly proud I am of each one of them. Now, we have a lot of talk about survivor guilt, and I think that runs rampant across our veterans.
What is survivor guilt for people that don't know?
Sure. It's the men who came home and said, it should have been me. Why wasn't it me? Why him, not me? We have a lot of conversations about that. I'm confident that if Josh had gone into that battle knowing that he was not going to live through it, he would have still walked in. I have met many, many veterans at this point, and they fight for the people on each side of them and for the family behind them. It's not about who they're fighting in front of them. Now, most, if not all, I'm going to say all, of Josh's Ranger brothers would have done the exact same thing. So what they have to settle with, what every veteran has to become comfortable with, is I love that person and I respect that person enough to give them the honor of the ultimate sacrifice, and to not taint that with me, with my question of why them, not me. And so we work through it together. I mean, there's a lot of tears. And the strength that you see today is not because the grief is smaller. It's because kind of the vessel holding the grief is bigger, right? In year one, a lot of tears. I couldn't sit here like this and tell this story in year one, right? In year one, I spent a lot of time on my knees, a lot of time in prayer. Most of those prayers, just tears, because I just didn't have words. And our community and our military family, it's kind of just circled us and protected us, gave us space to heal. And someone whom I don't know gave me incredible advice, and they said you're going to grow through this, or you're going to break. And they said, and you're going to have to make that choice.
It will make you or it will break you.
That's it.
You spoke about your immense pride for your son, for the military. What do you make of people, surely you've heard this too, people that just don't support the military, maybe aren't proud Americans, think America sucks?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard those things? And if so, what do you feel about that?
Yeah. Now, here's where I got to be honest. It just makes me so frustrated. Now, my husband will say that's exactly the freedom that they fought and died for.
To say that they hate the United States is a right that is protected by the brave men and women whom they criticize.
Well, that's what my husband would say. The whole kneeling thing. I don't watch professional football anymore.
I can understand that, right?
Mean,
it's like your son made the ultimate sacrifice there, and this football player who makes millions of dollars is going to kneel.
Yes. Now, what I have to remind myself is that the intent is not to criticize our fallen heroes. The intent is to bring attention to other problems that we have. And
right. And
that I can get around. I can get around that. Now, in both my conversations today with both the junior high and the high school that I spoke to, we spoke about freedom and about the sacrifices that have been made, whether it's my son who died or a veteran who came home, whatever that is, there was sacrifice there, right? And we talked about that was for freedom. I think a lot of people in America struggle with the freedom that we have because they don't understand how that compares to the rest of the world. That's what we talked about with the kids. Like, you can hate going to school every day, but you need to understand that there are other people, many people in this world who would love the freedom to go to school, who would love the freedom to study whatever they want to study, who would love the freedom to travel or walk down the street safely, right? Who there are just many freedoms that we struggle to understand if we don't reach out to understand what that means. Now, if people hate America, I welcome them to leave it, right, and go find someplace better. But my son did die for you to have the freedom to peacefully protest, right? For you to have the freedom of religious choice, for you to have the freedom to believe what you want to believe, right? Now, you don't have the freedom to do anything you want. He certainly didn't die for that. But it is a responsibility we all have.
You talked about your faith in small parts and your prayers immediately following the news of your son, Josh. Did your faith take a hit during this?
That's a great question. To be honest, I don't know how you go through this without faith. People will often say that you lost your son in Afghanistan, and I will correct them and say, I didn't lose my son. I know exactly where he's at. I have no doubt that he is in heaven. I believe that he's still fighting evil. It's just in a different way, in a different space, that it's hard for us to understand. I believe he was built for that, his purpose in life. I believe in his eternal life is in fighting evil. So I didn't lose Josh. I myself was lost for a little bit of time because we all have dreams for our children, right? And, you know, what about his kids that I was supposed to hold? And what about the mother-son dance that I was supposed to dance in, right? What about his wife that I was supposed to, you know, say, I'm really sorry, I tried the best I could. You know, I was a little lost because my plans were certainly interrupted. Josh died on that battlefield. His story didn't end there. His story, it's been 5.5 years, and his story has continued on because incredible things have happened in his name. His story has been told over and over again. The military has a belief that when you stop saying someone's name is when they truly die. And so, you know, we say his name all the time. We are family with his Ranger brothers. And they were at my daughter's wedding a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. We are absolutely family.
Hmm. That's incredible that they came to your daughter, who they presumably didn't know.
Didn't know.
Wow.
Do now.
Huh. You talked about earlier how someone told you this is either going to make you or break you, using a different phrase. You also mentioned that a lot of good things have been done in Josh's name. Your husband, Kevin, and you have gone on to establish the Sergeant Joshua P. Rogers Memorial Fund to provide financial support to eligible Army 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment veteran scholarships. I don't know if that's all one thing or if that's two things. There was a comma when I read it online. And to provide and other charitable purposes, as well as a youth sports fund here in Bloomington Normal. What else have you done? I'm sure I'm missing something. Habitat home.
Yeah. So, we created the scholarship, we created the memorial in Josh's name, and we do fundraisers every once in a while. We've given back to the community, to youth sports in the community. It's hard to raise a child. It's hard to raise a kid, and you know, I grew up in a small town. My husband grew up in a small town. You know, the whole it takes a village was absolutely true, right? I believe that youth sports coaches, particularly in youth sports, leave fingerprints on our kids that shape who they are. And so we do. We have a Memorial Day tournament out at Pony Fields. Is the Sergeant Josh Rogers tournament. Wow. And that's awesome. Kevin gets to go and share Josh's story with some of the teams that are playing in that tournament. We donate money to the Cougars. So the youth football team Cougars wears a sticker on their helmet. That's who Josh played with. And so they honor Josh. We do a scholarship at the high school, which kind of makes me giggle because I think it makes Josh roll his eyes because remember I said he didn't really love high school, and now we do a scholarship for kids on the football or for one person on the football team who displays leadership talent. So in Josh's senior year of football, when the coaches always talk, you know, the coach said he wasn't the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, and by now everyone's pretty giggling, right? But he played with the most heart. And so we do a scholarship every year for the football player that the coaches say identify as playing with the most heart.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we stay active that way. We were part of creating the Hero House through Habitat for Humanity. So each year we identify a local hero and we build a house in their name for a local family. So it's a little bit of a unique program. We are also pretty active with HUA, Deer Hunt for Heroes, which is another local group that brings in Purple Heart veterans, takes them hunting and fishing. And they've taken Ashton, our youngest son, out hunting, got his first deer this year. So he's pretty happy. And the community has been amazing. If you drive down Airport Road, you'll see Josh's name on the sign.
That's right. That's right.
The Normal Post Office. If you go inside the Normal Post Office, you'll see a sign that
Holy
it's been
smokes,
dedicated.
Man.
Yeah, just absolutely amazing. The community, phenomenal.
Wow, all in Josh. This is a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm sure he's rolling his eyes because this is not, like I said, you know, Josh was awesome, okay? But he was the kid who, when they were told to park at Eastview because there was an accident in front of the school, he drove across the grass and parked at the high school because why wouldn't he? He had a Jeep. Or
he's a bit of a rebel.
The police followed him home one day because someone had been out joyriding behind Menards in a Jeep and they could follow the mud tracks back to our house. So this was a kid that's probably rolling his eyes, like the post office, the road. Probably, I think what Josh would really love the most is we do have a monument. I don't know what you call it. Out at the high school, we have an anvil and hammer, and it's right outside the boys' locker room. When the football players come out, they tap it. And it's very significant because, you know, iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. They're the normal iron men. Josh played hammer when he was in high school. And
he played hammer.
That's the position he played. Don't ask me to explain
okay.
what position it is. But hammer, anvil, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the Rangers, they have some things at play in there. And so that, I think Josh would look at that and give his little sideways smile and say, that is pretty cool. All this other stuff, all this other stuff's for my mom, but this one's for me.
Oh, that's cool. He sounds like a guy I could have been friends with.
Yeah.
I love his style. That's awesome. You talked about, you obviously love America. Do you think Josh loved America? Obviously, he's in the military. Did he love America? Did he love the United States?
I think so. I think he was. I'm not sure if, you know, 19-year-old Josh would have said, I joined the Army because I love America. I do think 19-year-old Josh would have said, I joined the Army because there is some bad stuff happening in this world and I can help. Hmm. That once you've traveled, once you've been to Afghanistan, once you've seen how people are treated, makes you, I think, even more involved in this idea that I can help protect not only my family, but I can help protect this world. And I think that that would have been, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old Josh. Did he love America? Absolutely, right? He sacrificed his life. He committed to protecting America. I think he appreciated it a lot more, right? Once he saw more of the world. And then I think he understood the evil that exists. And he was, truly, it was his purpose. He was made for that.
I think so. I really think so. As much as someone can be made for that, Josh was made for that.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about earlier how you've evolved as a person. I just want to ask, how so? You said the first year following April 27th, you couldn't have talked about this. You would have been a mess if I put this microphone in front of your face. How have you changed? What helped you to mature, whatever you want to call it? Walk me through the evolution of your mind, your heart, and your soul since that day.
Absolutely. First of all, there are some just absolutely incredible organizations that are out there. One is TAPS, T-A-P-S. I'm not going to remember what it stands for, but you can go out and find it, I promise. TAPS is an organization whose focus is on helping people heal following military deaths. And I reached out to them very quickly, and they allowed me to participate very, very quickly in some healing activities. And so they were wonderful. I mentor other moms now through that program. So, and anyone can call TAPS who is dealing with a military death, and they are equipped to help and handle that. There is a group called Wear Blue Run to Remember, which was started by a woman whose husband was killed. And it's a running group, basically. Now it's a national running group. And it's basically people who take steps in honor of our fallen, our families, and our active military. And I ran a marathon in 2019. I ran the Marine Corps Marathon with this group. Now, mind you, I've never ran a mile in my life. Not before, not since.
Really?
Yeah, but you can do, here's what I've learned. You can do really hard things if other people believe in you, stand beside you, and do it with you. I ran a 5K with one of Josh's Ranger brothers. I ran a half marathon with another one of his Ranger brothers. I ran the marathon with one of his Ranger brothers. He'd been his private. I practiced with many, many people from the military family. They helped me run. I am not a runner, but I can move 26.2 miles.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You can get the job done. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be beautiful running by any means.
No, I can move, though, that far. Well, I could then. I'm not sure I could right now. But so I guess that's all to say. I grew up in a Christian home. My mother's a prayer warrior. I know she's been bathing us in prayer since this happened. My sister, my mother-in-law. So a lot of prayers, right? A lot of people who patiently gave us space. A lot. Our church family, we go to Eastview. Our church family is amazing. A lot of tears, a lot of prayer. And every time I speak, including tonight, I just give it to the Holy Spirit. And I say, you use me, right? Someone out there needs to hear something. You know that. And so use me. And so it's a gift, I guess, that God has given me to learn how to share this story. I'm not holding back tears. I am absolutely so proud of the men that Josh served with and so thankful for our family and our community. And I honor the heroes around us, the veterans. They are incredible to us. Another group I didn't mention, Gold Star Mission. That's a group that was started by some Illinois National Guards in honor of Illinois' fallen soldiers or fallen military. And they give scholarships out in the name of a fallen hero. And remember, the whole idea is keep saying their names, right? Keep sharing their stories. And so they do scholarships, and each scholarship is given in the name of one of Illinois' fallen heroes. It's an incredible group. In September, they do a 500-mile bike ride. I joined them this year. I did not ride a bike for 500 miles, yeah. But I did drive a car at 15 miles an hour for 500 miles. So I did my part.
Oh, my word.
I got to trail them. And I tell you what, I was like mama to these 35 bicyclists. No one was going to hit one of my bicyclists, right? We do it to raise awareness, right? Just like this. Just raise awareness that people have died, people have sacrificed for your freedoms, and just as important, people have served in the military, our veterans. People say to me all the time, Josh is a hero. Yeah, damn straight he's a hero, right? He's not a hero because he died in Afghanistan. He's not a hero because he was an elite soldier. He was 75th Ranger Regiment. He's a hero because he showed up on day one, right? As an 18-year-old kid, he showed up. He signed up and he showed up, and he's a hero because of that.
Showing up, that's what makes you a hero. Signing up, showing up, being brave, stepping up to the plate, you know, that's what it's all about. You can't control what happens. All you can control is showing up.
Yep.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. That's what makes you a hero. And your son certainly is a hero, a wonderful man. Gosh, I'm proud of him. And I'm proud of you, too. I mean, you're talking about this, and like you said, you're not even holding back tears. It's incredible. You've responded with grace to one of the most tragic things that anyone could go through. And let me ask you this. You're in a unique position. Having been through what you've been through, what should someone say to a mother who might find themselves in your shoes if it were the first year after Josh, after you got news of this? What should someone say to you?
You know, people ask me that a lot. And I think there's two things. One is just show up. Don't wait to be invited, because a person deep in the pit of grief, they can't invite. They don't know how to.
Right. Right? Oh, gosh.
So show up, right? Show up. Bring the paper plates. Bring the plastic cups. Bring the plastic forks. Don't expect a conversation. Don't expect a thank you note. But show up. Meet their physical needs. Second, nobody knows what to say. And really, there's nothing you can say that's going to make it feel better. So you say, I'm sorry. And people truly are. When I meet any parent who's lost a child, regardless of why, right? I am so sorry. And that's really all I have to say. Now, anyone who's lost a parent has sat in just the deepest, darkest space, right? Grief is dark and it's deep. What is amazing is, as deep and dark as it gets, God balances that with a view of joy and love that I don't think you can experience without that. Both ends get bigger. You experience love that you wouldn't normally have experienced. Strangers come up to me and say, I heard your story. And people care, right? People give us so much love, so much unconditional caring that obviously we don't deserve, or, you know, But we have experienced just an incredible amount. The community, when we brought Josh home the following weekend, so he came into Bloomington Airport, and there were crowds of people there.
Really?
Crowds of people there. And then the next day for his funeral, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen, right? Trump had been in office for a few months, and some people liked that idea, and some people really didn't like that idea. And so throughout the United States, you were seeing some people protesting, right? And as you said before, not everybody is a fan of the United States. Not everyone appreciates our military. And so no one really knew what was going to happen. This was a pretty high profile. Josh and Cameron being killed in Afghanistan in a great big fight, right? And Trump new in office. This was a pretty big deal. We were contacted by every major news, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. They're all calling us for interviews. We gave one local interview and let them release it. And so we didn't know what was going to happen. And so the Patriot Guard are motorcycle riders, veterans who use their motorcycles as their way to give back to the community by providing protection, by escorting. They met us at the church and they escorted us to the cemetery. The Bloomington police and Normal police were all involved in getting us just moved safely everywhere we had to move at that time. And we let people know that the church service, that the cemetery would be private. That doesn't mean there was just a few people there, but, you know, we tried to keep it kind of semi-private. But we told people, if you want to honor Josh, you can come out, and this is our route that we'll take. People lined the streets, and it was so amazing. Flags and signs and parents teaching kids about, you know, what's going on in the world, and just an incredible amount of love and support. And again, grief hurts. Love doesn't, mm-hmm. right? And so we were very blessed that we had both. We went through grief with an incredible amount of love.
A long period of darkness helps us appreciate the light that much more, I would say.
Absolutely.
Wow. We're getting towards the end of this conversation, Vonda, and it's been incredible. I'm continually amazed at your ability to speak so coherently and beautifully, really. So thank you for doing that. I want to ask an interesting question. What advice or what suggestion would you make to parents who have the good fortune of having their children still with them today?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you learned about yourself or just being a parent in general that you'd want to tell those parents now? Maybe do more of this, less of this, do this at all or don't do this at all. Is that question, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. The first thing is every parent says, I can't imagine. And my response is always, don't even try. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't let that be the focus, right? Enjoy. Josh signed his letters, enjoy your time. And the one thing the military gives parents is when kids are in basic training, they write letters. They don't have their phones a lot, so they write letters. So we have letters from Josh that we can hold on to, right? We have his words in writing. And he would just sign off, enjoy your time. And that is what I tell parents, like, just enjoy your time. You don't know how long you'll have. Don't obsess with that part of it, though. Just enjoy your time. Hug them a little bit tighter, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, parenting's hard. And so just do your best to enjoy it.
Enjoy the time you have. Embrace them. Embrace life.
Absolutely. Now, a couple things that I have to leave because there's a couple things that we call them God winks. One is the number 22. And so Josh was born on April 22nd, right? He wore the number 22 in football. He loved the number 22. Mm. And he was 22 the year he was killed. He's buried in the 22nd section of the cemetery, not intentionally. That's where he was buried. And my girlfriend said, "You didn't even tell me it was the 22nd section." And I said, "I had no idea." And so the number 22 is just a little, we call it God wink. It's just a little way to say, you know, I'm
God wink. Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I'm not so far away from you, right? It's just a little way to say. So I anticipate that people are going to notice the number 22. Hmm. And I love that when they do, they're going to think of Josh. They're going to think of this conversation and they're going to think of Josh. The other thing is, now spirit animals is, you know, we can go on around, but there's this idea often, right? You see a cardinal that might be, you know, that might remind you, right? It might be in memory of kind of thing, and butterflies and dragonflies. Well, for Josh, it's the hawk. And so when we dedicated the cemetery, it's the Sergeant Josh Rogers Veterans Memorial Field out at the cemetery. When we dedicated it, hawks just flew around in circles. And people said, wow. How did you do that? Like, how do you rent hawks? I'm like, nope, that was a God thing. I went to high school in Gibson City. My graduating class planted a tree for us at the Bible church where I grew up. And hawks circled. When we had that ceremony, when we go down to Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia, and always there's hawks that it feels like they're making the drive with us, right? They're with us all the time. And so I love his friends will send me pictures and, you know, there was a hawk on mile 22 and I can't make this up, and they'll send me a picture and things like this. So, as you go out and about tomorrow, you'll see a hawk.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're going to be like, okay, Josh, I get it. And so it's just a couple little things like that make his story a little more real to people.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. I love that. The hawks. It's not like I see hawks all the time either. So, wow. Vonda, thank you so much for having the courage and the bravery and the strength to come on today and talk about your incredible son, Joshua P. Rogers. His name, you know, I'm going to be saying that name an awful lot, and hopefully people watching this will continue to think of his name, think of the number 22, think of this conversation because of what you've been able to say today. So with all that said, you're an incredible woman. Your son was an incredible man. Your husband, presumably, is an incredible man, too. I wish I had another microphone. But thank you so much for your time today. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me come share a story. Shout out to our military family and a shout out to all of our veterans. They are the heroes among us. I want everyone go out, understand who our veterans are, and thank them for their service and honor them in the right way.
Couldn't agree more. Great message. Great way to end this show. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to the Paul Garcia Show. God bless, and God bless all the men and women in uniform who have served and who serve currently, and happy Veterans Day. We'll see you next time.